Ebenezer Scrooge was a tight-fisted man. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner, like my grandfather.
I am abroad collecting loans. It will be overdue by year's end.
Once upon a time on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house.
On Christmas Eve?
He left the door open to keep an eye on his clerk whom he didn't trust, obviously Bob Cratchit, who sat at his desk copying letters and trying to keep warm by the fire of a single lump of coal. A single lump of coal. Oh, my goodness. At closing time, Cratchit approached old Scrooge timidly, reminding him that tomorrow was Christmas. "You'll want all day tomorrow, I suppose," said Scrooge. "If that's all right, sir," replied the clerk.
"It's only once a year, sir."
"Oh, excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December."
Christmas. Bah, humbug. Just another excuse for a day's wages and no work. Scrooge glared at Cratchit. "Fine, but see that you're in early on the 26th. That's the day after Christmas, you know." "I will, sir," said Bob Cratchit. "Merry Christmas, sir." "Humbug," said Scrooge, as usual.
"If I had my will, every idiot that goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled in his own pudding. And buried with a stake of holly through his heart, he should."
Scrooge lived in an old apartment which had once belonged to his deceased partner. I'd be deceased too, living with Scrooge. Jacob Marley was his partner. The place was gloomy and fit the old miser like a glove. But as Scrooge lay down to bed, he was disturbed by the sound of chains rattling.
"Scrooge!"
It was the ghost of his old partner, Jacob Marley. "Marley, what do you want with me?" said Scrooge. The ghost of Marley rattled his chains at Scrooge, who covered his ears at their terrible noise.
"Listen, why do you trouble me?"
"I've come to warn you, Ebenezer Scrooge," shouted Marley. "I wear the chains I forged in life. I made them link by link and yard by yard. Your chains were as long as mine when I passed on 7 years ago. Imagine how long and heavy they are now."
"Now, Jacob, speak comfort to me, old friend."
"I have none to give."
"Marley," said Scrooge, "why do you appear before me now?" He told Scrooge that tonight he would be visited by three ghosts. It was more than Scrooge could bear, and he begged the spirit, "Leave me, haunt me no longer, for Pete's sake." "Without their visit," said Marley, "you cannot hope to shun the path I've tread. Expect the first when the bell tolls one." And with that, found himself in his own bedroom, where he sank into a heavy sleep. What if he'd been drinking? Later that night, Scrooge was awoken by the sound of the clock and the arrival of the ghost of Christmas past.
"Long past?"
"No, your past."
"What brings you?"
"Your welfare."
The spirit showed Scrooge a vision of his younger years at the side of his young love, Isabel. She was a looker. He wrenched as he told his younger self that she feared that he was replacing his love for her with love for money.
"Another idol has displaced me."
"What idol do you mean?"
"A golden one."
He replaced Isabel with money? Scrooge was a Scrooge. And as this love for wealth grew, Isabel saw his nobler aspects fall away.
"I release you, Ebenezer."
"I'm not asking for your release."
"Well, I'm giving it to you. You've already chosen what matters most to you. May you be happy with it."
The memory of a lost true love was too much for Scrooge, and he begged to be returned to his home and his bed. And poof, there he was. When he opened his eyes, he was back home. He looks around and convinces himself it was just a dream, like a blues singer. It was a dream last night. So he goes back to bed, and yeah, you know what's going to happen. The clock tolls again. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. Scrooge wakes up in time to greet his second ghostly visitor.
"I am the ghost of Christmas present."
That's bad news for Scrooge. The spirit whisked Scrooge away to the humble home of his clerk, Bob Cratchit.
"A Merry Christmas to us all, my dears."
His threadbare clothes darned up, and his son, Tiny Tim, on his shoulder. Tiny Tim walked with the aid of a small crutch, and his limbs were supported by an iron frame. And you know, seeing his family He asked the ghost if the boy would live.
I see a vacant chair and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved.
That is, if things don't change. Scrooge hung his head, and he knew that with Bob Cratchit's meager wages, that he was partly to blame for this family's situation. Scrooge drifted away back and into his own bed, eventually to fall into a deep slumber. But just like Marley said, the clock struck and Scrooge was awoken by the third ghost. And this one was actually kind of scary. It rose up out of the ground and walked toward him with a big black hooded robe. You know, black is dangerous. Scrooge asked, "Are you the ghost of Christmas yet to come?" The ghost didn't answer, but pointed downward with his hand to the image of a cemetery blanketed in fog. There among the grave sites was the stone of a neglected grave with his own name, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, no, spirit, no, no, spirit.
And this, I'm telling you, really freaked Scrooge out.
Oh, tell me, have they sponged away the writing on this stone?
Man. Holding up his hands in a last prayer to have his fate reversed, Scrooge watched as the phantom's hood shrunk, collapsed, and dwindled down into a bedpost. And the bedpost was his own. The bed was his own. The room was his own. Best and happiest of all, the time before him was his home. To make amends, Scrooge ran to the window. He opened it. Sunlight flooded in. It was Christmas Day. Bells rang in the distance. Bells will be ringing.
Bells will be ringing.
And Scrooge rushed to his clerk's humble home, carrying with him presents and rich foods and glad tidings for the entire Cratchit family. The entire family, Scrooge swore from that day forward.
I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year.
And Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, he was like a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a man, as the good old city knew. And so, as Tiny Tim observed,
God bless us, everyone!
And to all, a good night.
Thank you.